Well, we're continuing our teaching in the life of Christ. So last week we looked at and talked about Jesus' ministry. Because the week before that I had taught, Sherry taught in between. But we talked about Jesus going to Nazareth and his rejection. But at Capernaum, they received his ministry. They were marveled by what he did, but they didn't reject the ministry. And one of the things I think we really need to be careful about today, especially from the standpoint of educational wise and things, from science and everything like that, really, I'm really amazed at how much of Christianity, even so-called spirit-filled Christianity, really sort of rejects a lot of things of the Word. They don't out and out say it, but they come up with other ideas why things happen. And we need to be very careful about that. You know, the Bible tells us certain things, and science tells us totally different things. You know, the science tells us the age of the earth and the sun and the moon, and the Bible, tells us a different time that the moon was made and the sun was made, and different things. And you have to decide. Here's one thing you're going to have to decide. You know, you go along with science, but I will tell you what, it's going to always affect your faith to take on, what science says. If you believe science is true, there's things that you will not ever enter into. You'll be skeptical about with the Word of God. There's one thing as I learned, if God says it, I don't need to understand it. Because if you look at the Bible and you think that parts of the Bible are not true, well, what are you going to believe is true? What can you say is true? I mean, there's really nothing we can say. So I'm big on the fact of the Word. The Bible says it. Hey, I'm going to go along with it. I think sometimes we reason too far in things and take the simplicity of faith out of things because we reason too much and just, accept things. And it's like today, the skepticism is, we live in a society, people have lied and lied and done all kind of things, and you have to be very careful because, just like the things we came through through the COVID things and all that kind of stuff, and you find out, that the government lied like crazy about all kind of, but you have to be very careful. Don't you become a skeptic because the world is skeptical and people lie and do things. Because you get in that negative side, and a lot of people are into that, that negative side of things. Always, griping about stuff, and you can't trust the government, and they don't realize what happens. You can't really trust them either, because they're on the negative side all the time, so you can't trust them. They don't see themselves in that way. And just stay on the side of the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that, dealing with Jesus' ministry and the Word of God, because we're going to find out that Jesus, one of the things we talk from a scriptural standpoint, when people talk about the works of Jesus, most people always jump over and think about the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. But that wasn't the number one thing that he did. The number one thing that he did was teach and preach the Word. You know, the Bible tells us in Peter, when he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What was the good that he did? It was his teaching and preaching. That's number one. You're going to find out this is the Word is number one, not the gifts of the Spirit. The Word is, because we find out is from Scripture as we look at it, is one of the things. God, without faith, you can't please God. So therefore, there is no way for a person to have faith other than through the Word. Mm-hmm. Gifts of the Spirit do not cause people to have faith. You need to understand it. This is what so many people are trying. Well, if they people see signs and wonders, then they're going to believe. I'm sorry. There's people see signs and wonders and still don't believe. I was in meetings already and saw the most phenomenal miracles you'd ever see. And yet, loads of people couldn't get healed. Well, why? If miracles cause people to have faith, wouldn't you think everybody in the house that had faith, they'd all got healed? But they didn't. So they don't. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where it comes from. That's God has established this principle. It's not something a man... it is so easy to think that, well, if people see this or they see that, then they'll believe. No, seeing don't believe, bring believing. Nope. And especially we have today, now we're finding out you really can't believe stupid stuff you see. This is why I'm telling you, stick with what the Word, quit, you know, don't follow after what's going on in our society, because it's like with me, what keeps things stable is the Word. I mean, the Word is where I can go and stand. You know, I don't worry what's going on. I can go look at the Word, and all my years of following this thing, it's worked for me. I mean, it hasn't quit because society got stranger and stranger. It hasn't changed. So therefore, you know, I'm not moved by what society does. I'm not moved by that. And, you know, as Kenneth Hagin used to always say, I'm only moved by the Word of God. That's the only thing that moves me. And so be like that, because everything out here is changing. Everything gets weird. And to stay, keep yourself stable, especially keeping yourself where you're, you don't get crazy like all these people are getting out here. People's really getting weird. And I found out the closer I stay to the Word, the more stable I am in a troubled world. And so you want to walk and live there. Now in Matthew, the 4th chapter, I'm just going to read in verse 23, it says to him, this is concerning Jesus and his ministry in the beginning with Capernaum and things. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. But what did he do? He said he was teaching and preaching and healing. Did you notice? Teaching and preaching. He didn't say he was healing, and that he was teaching and preaching. There is a reason why the scriptures put things in order, why the Word of God is in order of things. You'll really find a lot of things are like that in the scripture if you pay attention to it, that it gives you the order of things to how they work. Teaching and preaching bring faith, then he was healing. So see, this is one thing you can know. If he was doing healing, then he must have been preaching and teaching about healing. You need to understand this. If you want to see people being healed, you can't, you know, and you want people healed, most people just pray for me. There's no faith involved in it at all. You teach and preach healing to people so they have faith to be healed. As we go along, we'll look more and more at that. Also, we find again in Matthew, in the 9th chapter, again we find, similar in the scriptures, where it says in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 35, says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, you need to understand, it doesn't say that he healed everybody. It says he healed every sickness. So in other words, with every kind of sickness he's healing, but he didn't say he heals everybody that's sick. See, everybody gets over in this thing, and Jesus was running around and healing everybody that's sick. No, he didn't. He was in Nazareth and didn't heal everybody that was sick. Just because he heals every kind of sickness and disease don't mean he healed everybody that was sick of those disease, that same disease. In other words, he healed people of every kind of disease, but didn't say everybody got healed who had those diseases. See, we get in our minds about things. There's a whole thing. If he went around doing that, what's the point of preaching and teaching the Word? People didn't need faith anyhow. They'd have gotten healed. They need faith. Always do that. It's number one. As we go through here, and this is why I want to go to Mark 16. Very familiar. You guys have heard this so many times. We've used it. But we want to use this because we're going to talk about, as we go on in Jesus' ministry in the Word, the things he said that are so important. When we're dealing with the Word and is ministering, especially ministering to people, is one of the major problem today in the church world, if we would say in our nation around Christianity in America, is the lack of knowledge of the Word of God. That's number one. It's number one on the list. People don't need any more hands laid on empty heads. They need to get something put in their head. They need to get the Word of God. And the Word of God will do, is why? Because if you're going to minister something to people, they got to be able to receive it. As number one, you got to get them to receive the Word. We've just, too many people want what God has, but they don't want to, because you know, it takes time with the Word. It takes time to listen to it. It takes time to study. It takes time to read. It takes time to get it in you. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I wanted to, when I started off, man, I wanted to grow up, you know, in a year or two. I just want, you know, and when I sit back and look at all the years of putting Word in me and Word in me, and you go along, and I, you know, I always tell the stories, the fact I go along and here I'll turn around, read something, say, my God, I've read that thing thousands of times, and all of a sudden one day, boom, a light come on that thing. It's like, oh my God. hadn't really seen that before like that. Well, you know, that there's revelation of the Word comes. It opens up to you. And you, it doesn't happen all the time. And it doesn't happen. You grow into it. And see, this is what people don't want to do. Everything today is how can we do little and end up with more? That's what everybody wants. I'm sorry, the kingdom of God does not operate like that. It never will operate like that. You're going to have to do things, the same things that people did in the past to arrive at the same place. Whether you like it or not, that's it. You know, that's the way it works. And so, as soon as you get yourself into that and understand that, you know, I can truthfully say this, I have enjoyed my growth in the Word of God over all these years. I just thoroughly have enjoyed growing up. I mean, it this has been a wonderful trip. It has. It has really been good. And I just really enjoy it. The more I study the Word, the more I look into it, the more I read it, the more I look and think, boy, I just thank God I have the opportunity of this. This is just wonderful. Amen. And what it's done for my life. But in Mark 16, we're talking about Jesus. You know, he's getting ready to leave and he's telling his disciples what he wants them to do. And we're going to look at start at verse 14. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And it says, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. See, here's these guys, and you know, they're the ones that all this stuff, they're following him around, and you know, isn't it funny? There must have been a lot that they, you know, hadn't received. You know, Jesus told them things, but they didn't receive it. You know, I'll guarantee you, it wasn't that they couldn't, they didn't. It didn't fit for them. And you need to understand that. It can be the exact same way for us. Mm-hmm. You know? He's sitting around talking. They were full of seeing him crucified. They were full of seeing what he looked like. They were full of seeing him be put in a tomb. That's what they were full of. Mm-hmm. Although he had told them beforehand that he was going to raise them to death. He'd raise them. He told them. You know a crazy thing about it? If you follow the scriptures, the Pharisees believed it. They put guards on the tomb so he wouldn't come out. And the disciples, they're hiding like he ain't coming out. Did you ever think about that? I never heard anybody preach that stuff. Those guys are hiding and the Pharisees believe he might get raised from the dead. Said, oh, they'll come and steal it. So we're going to put guards on the tomb. He didn't have to do that for the disciples. They didn't believe he was coming out. He's dead. Poor old us. Anyhow, so he goes and he said to them, he says, go into all the world and heal all the people you find. No, he didn't say, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. So there we find out, people get born again by the preaching of the gospel, not by healing. Not by sealing it. It's the preaching of the gospel. He told them, go preach the gospel. Those who believe the gospel, not those who believe in healing, will be saved. So we need to understand this. We need to get this. Hey, I'm not against gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for them. We want to have them. But if we would have much more if we would operate according to as Scripture tells us. And it's really important. Let me say this for manifestation of the Spirit. There's one thing as I learned concerning Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had asked the Lord one time years ago about having manifestations of the Spirit. And the Lord took him to these Scriptures about the fact of signs following the Word. Now he took him here to this. And the Lord said to him about it. He asked about why he wasn't having it. He said, your answer is right there in the scriptures. And this is what we're going to look at. Our answer is in the scriptures. If there's not manifestations of the Spirit, it's because we're not doing what the Bible says. That's why. In fact, Kenneth Hagin, the Lord told him, he said, if you preach the Word, you'll never have to pray or fast or anything for signs. He said, because signs always follow the Word. He said, the problem is the Word's not being preached. Mm-hmm. And Kenneth Hagin said this, in the rest of his ministry, he never once prayed anymore for signs or gifts of the Spirit to manifest. He said, you preach the Word. Mm-hmm. This is the problem we have today. People are trying to believe for things, and what they really need to learn to do is what the Word says. We like to see a lot of stuff, and it's good. We want to see things, but you got to do what the Word says. It's not put the emphasis on seeing things. The emphasis is on preaching the Word. So we go there. He said, "And these signs will follow those who believe." So they're going to preach. Now the one, now he said, now get this. Now he said, these signs will follow those who believe. What? What they preach. So this, he's not saying the signs follow the disciples. Those disciples, the 11 he's talking to. He said the signs follow those who believe what he's going to say. This is who's the five. The signs don't follow because you're a Christian. The signs follow because you walk in line with the Word. That's why the signs. So he said the ones who believe what you preach, those ones the signs will follow. Now he tells signs that follow the words. These are signs that follow. These are not things that you try to make happen. These are the signs that will follow if you do the Word. I'm just going to say this. Over my Christian walk of manifestations of the Spirit, I've never done anything special to have manifestations of the Spirit. I've just found, just walk along and believe the Word. Believe the Word, act on the Word, say the Word. See, even in your own life, are you speaking the Word or are you just, you know, trying to get... A lot of people, Christians do this, are praying about things when they should be saying about things. They should be talking and saying about themselves, you know. Might be good to preach to yourself every once in a while. I preach me some good sermons. I do. I preach me some good stuff. You have to learn. I always tell you this, be your best cheerleader. You're going to have to do it. You're waiting around to, you know, get to church or hear somebody or something else. I learned a long time ago, I can give me a good sermon before I can sit down and wait till so-and-so comes on television. I can encourage me. Hallelujah. Wow, speak the Word over yourself. Say what God said about you over yourself. Do those things, and it's amazing what it'll do for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, and he said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, he said, they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, and if they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now it says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. So we know where Jesus is at. You know, people say, well, Jesus lives in you, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is the high priest of heaven. That's who he is. I'm a priest in the earth. Jesus don't have to come down to the earth to be a priest. He already got me here and you here. You're a priest. And so Jesus said, now what he said, so they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What does it say? It said, he confirmed the word that was preached. God can only confirm what is preached. If you don't preach healing, healing don't show up. If you don't preach salvation, salvation don't show up. Like I had a minister one time say to me, well, if God heals, why doesn't he heal in our church? I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, people get saved? Oh, yeah, yeah, we get people saved. I said, do you get people healed? Well, he said, no. I said, oh, you preach healing and nobody gets healed. He said, we don't preach healing. I said, that's right, nobody gets healed. Signs follow the word. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Signs follow the word. Anything from scripture, you're going to have to preach, for the signs confirm the word that's preached. Signs do not come if the word is not preached. Very simple. This is very simple. This is why Jesus went everywhere. That's why he went out to preach. He's preaching stuff. You know, he's out there preaching, hey, I'm the one anointed that Isaiah talked about. Why? Somebody's anointed to confirm the word. So he preaches, he's going out, he's preaching, telling them things they ain't hearing in other places. See, we need to understand this. They were disciples in the beginning. They went out and they preached healing. They didn't, you know, we talk about preaching the gospel today. Gospel don't get ever preached too much. It doesn't get preached. We preach one part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. We preach part, get people saved. But we don't preach it. They don't preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't preach, you know, people don't preach. They don't, that stuff don't happen. There's nothing for God to confirm. See, and then people pray and ask for gifts of the Spirit. If you're not going to preach, don't waste your time praying for gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. It's a waste of time. It's a waste. If you want to see signs and wonders, see, when I learned this my whole life, you know, it had to do with my believing. So I began to study the Word in the areas. If I wanted to see things happen, then I had to have faith in areas. So I had to get the Word in me. And it's like any other person. It's the same way. Understand this. This is what Jesus said. If anybody else has another opinion, I'm not even interested. Jesus said this. This is what he told the church. I don't care what anybody else says about it. I don't care what they're saying, they're doing. Oh, we're praying about this. Jesus said, he didn't say, and if you pray a lot, it'll happen. He said, he'll confirm the word you preach. He didn't say he'll confirm your prayers, did he? He'll confirm the word that you preach. Boy, we ought to get in faith with that. If I preach, God's going to confirm when I preach the word, he's going to confirm it. He'll do it. See, if we preach like that and had people believe like that, when they heard the word, a lot of people, more people, I think, would believe and do something. But, you know, we're going through some other kind of rigmarole trying to get... No, God will confirm the word. He's always done that in me. When I believe for something, he always confirms it. Once I'm believing it and I'm standing on it, he confirms it.
Amen.
It's the way it works. It's how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got faith to be filled with the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. I was a young Christian and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He confirmed the word. He's always done that. Healing everything. He confirms the word. You stand on the word, he confirms it. And so let's get that. Get ourselves over things. This is, take all the complication and all this other junk out of it. Let's just make this thing as simple as possible. You know, Lord told Kenneth Hagin, if something, if somebody's preaching something that's really complicated, he said, I didn't give it to him. God will confirm the word. Jesus said that. If it doesn't work that way, he's a liar. And if he's a liar, let's get rid of this book and let's all go home. The heck with this. What are we doing following this guy for? I'm following him because he's right. And so we follow the word. That's all it is. We preach the word and the Holy Spirit. Just think, God is going. See, we sometimes, you know, God, in a sense, we're going before him. He, you know, and he said, because he confirms the word. The word follow. In other words, he's waiting for us to do something and then he'll turn around and do it. Just think about that. It's the way he's operating. It's what we're going to do here. He said, he's sitting up in heaven. He's given us the authority. We can use his name. In his name, we can go preach the word and he will confirm with signs. He said, if I lay hands on the sick, why? The signs will follow, so they'll be confirmed. But we got to tell people about it. People just want around and lay hands. You know, people want to be healed. You know, they want to listen to hear a thing. You know, just lay a hand on my empty head and we'll have something happen. And things don't happen. Why? We don't preach the word. There's nothing for God to confirm. The person ain't believing. We get people going through problems and they say, oh, pray for me. You know, I'm having a health problem. Nobody even asks them what they're believing. People just go to praying for them. And then there's a hit and miss. And well, I don't know why. I do. If it ain't working, there's a faith problem somewhere. And if I know how to believe, then I know that there's a faith problem with the person. So how do you remedy that? You got to get the word in them. But we don't want to tell people. We want to be, you know, they come and say, you know, somebody come pray, well, you know, just pray for me. I've had over the years people, you know, come and pray for me. Well, about what? You know. Do you ever have people, I've had this over the years, people come and say, you know, just pray for me. Well, pray about what? A rock hit you in the head or something? What do you want me to pray for? Just pray for me. Religion does this. And the church is filled with this kind of stuff, thinking there's some kind of spirituality. What do you want me to pray about? What can you believe God for? Well, I want to pray God to help you. Help you what? What specifically? Look. look at Scripture. Prayer is specific about what... We don't have any prayers of just throwing darts out there in space somewhere. They speak specifically. Look at the prayers in the Bible. They speak specifically to something. You know, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him is, well, God, I just want to learn more. Well, maybe You'll help me and maybe You can help me out. Or, you know, that's not the prayer. You see, we got to get people. We got to stop and say, hey, hold it. What is it that you want? But see, religion has taught us not to do this. A religion has taught us just to be religious about with people. Really. It's like, well, we're doing spiritual things when we're not. It's pretty carnal. It's like, no. Be specific with God. Find out. You know, that's why you go to the Scripture. You know, find out. Well, can I believe God for healing? Does God even want to heal me? Most people, the average person that will come along, even among Spirit-filled, are not really sure if God wants them well. Well, they're sure God heals, but they're not sure about themselves. They're not sure about themselves. They don't know if they qualify or not. If you don't pray, they have to come to faith. Or they'll just keep going on and on and on in that. You got to get them to a place in faith where they know God wants them well. See, I'm convinced God wants me well. I know He wants me well. I done read the book. I believe it. I believe Jesus already took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. There's no question of this. If I can't get it, there's something wrong with it. There ain't nothing wrong with God. Something wrong with it. You see, we need to get ourselves clear in this stuff and everything for people's sake. Is the idea, you know, person said, well, you'll pray for me, I'm human. Do you really believe we'll lay hands on you, you're going to get well? Do you really believe that? I will guarantee you, I have done it in prayer lines with people and ask them, and they start stuttering around and they start, well, you know, this, well, I'm a believing God. They won't just stop and say, yep, God's going to heal me. That's what I'd say if I was asked, sure, I'm getting healed. Get your hand on my empty head. We'll get this done quick. No, people will go into they'll try to think something religious to say to hide their unbelief. See, and this, I blame Christianity for doing this to people, of not being honest about things, of not just telling people out front about, you know, themselves. We have so much religion goes on and so much things that we have our religious ideas about things. And if we get past this, all this stuff, and say, hey, can I really believe something or not? If I don't, there's nothing wrong with it. What you do is, well, let's find out how I can get faith and how I get to the place I can stand on this. How can I do it? We stop and ask people. People don't ever grow in faith if they think they can just, this is the way we're doing it. They come time after time. Most people, from a sickness standpoint, that go to get hands laid on them a lot, end up worse off than what they would. They've had hands laid on them too many times. Because they think the laying on of hands is what's going to make it all work. No, faith does. Faith does. We lay hands on because of faith. We don't lay hands on makes faith or does not. That's why we do it. Faith always comes first. Because of the Word. And see, we want to get people in that. Get people in that mode is the idea. Is telling them. Tell them what the Word says. Tell them what it is. Tell them what the Bible says about it. And, you know, God confirms the Word. And this is what we want to get to, where more and more we are seeing the Word of God confirmed. From the standpoint of when people just go along in their religious ideas and we keep going along in that. No, tell people what God said. Don't be ashamed of what... I mean, it's the truth. The stuff's got me healed. It's got me delivered. It got me saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. It got all that it did. It's like, why would we be ashamed to say to somebody something about it working? Because if we had anything else worked in our life, we'd be running around telling everybody. So let's get ourselves over on this where we get excited about this. God confirms the Word. And so get that son of yourself. So if I know the Word. This is why Jesus, if we're going to look at more and more what Jesus said concerning the Word of God. Jesus also said in Matthew 28, when He was leaving, In Matthew 28, verses 18, I'll start at verse 18 and down to the end of 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them," this is disciples. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So what are you supposed to do? Go make disciples. These are followers. So our intent is this. So Jesus told us to go out. He said, we're supposed to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We're supposed to go out. So the preaching of the gospel, understand this, is to make disciples. One of the things that we need to do is preach this gospel. The gospel of disciple is to tell people. See, we tell people God will save you, but we don't tell people God wants them to follow him. We don't tell them that. We don't even open our mouths about it. Let's just get them saved. And what happens? The majority of them never follow God. No. What are we supposed to do? What did Jesus say? This is Jesus talking. Is he an authority on this? Is he right? And anybody that says any different is wrong. Okay, I'm going with Jesus. So he goes, the nations we go to, we make disciples. That's what we're after. We're after to make disciples. Not Ed Gibson's disciples. Not some other ministries. Disciples of Jesus Christ. People who want to follow Jesus. So, make disciples. This is what you do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now he says this, those disciples, what do we do to those disciples? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What are we supposed to do?
Teach them.
We tell people, you're going to come to Christ? Are you going to be a follower? You're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to listen to teaching. You're going to have to do these. This is what you're going to have to do. Jesus said so. Okay. That you need taught all what he commanded these guys. You need to hear it. See, we got too many people. We're doing praying. We're doing all kind of things. So calling to help them. And we don't make them a disciple because we don't want to put them on the spot because they might not listen to me anymore. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, I'm sticking with Jesus. I ain't sticking with their hurt feelings.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, we need to tell people. We're supposed to teach them. We're going to need people. They're going to have to sit to teach them. You're going to have to sit and listen. You want to follow Jesus? You can accept Jesus and your life might not go well at all. In fact, it may get worse for you. Life may become hell for you. The devil may wear you out. So if you're not going to be a follower, you will not have a blessed life. I don't care how much God loves you. Love won't produce a darn thing. You know, I don't care how I love my wife, if I don't want to live with her and do right, I don't have the benefit of that. It don't ever happen. We have like love is something great. Not if you don't respond to it. Amen. It don't do a thing for you. Love's only good if you respond to it. And you ain't going to hang out with the devil and respond to love, I'll guarantee you. He don't play that game. He don't care about that at all. Well, he says, you go teaching them to observe all things I command you. And he says, hello, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he said, I'm with you always. But he said, teach people. You know why? Because if they don't, they won't know that God's with them. They'll live like God ain't near them. They'll live like God is in another county someplace. That's what they'll live like. We're going to find out what Jesus says. We go on in his teachings, the things that Jesus taught and said. And he's very specific about how things work concerning the Word. And he's very specific. And we need to do that with people. You know, when I came into the kingdom, I mean, the fact of studying and teaching and being taught the Word, that was the biggie when I came into the kingdom. As they told everybody, you know, you're going to get into Word. This is going to be the way it is. You're going to sit and listen to teaching. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to do. This is what we do. We ain't going to 400 concerts and all kinds of stuff like that. No, they're okay. You can have a little candy on the side, but it's best to sit down. And if people don't get in the Word, they'll get in the flesh in worship. Mm-hmm. When you need all kind of laser lights and stuff going to have worship, that ain't worship.
Amen.
That's visual. That's watching.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is those people can't worship at home. They think worship is some kind of thing that somebody else does and you just go to it and get entertained. No, you got to learn to worship God in your own house. You got to worship God in your own place. You got to worship God yourself. And you know what? You know the Word, and worship becomes an easy thing with God. You'll like Him a lot.
Amen.
The more I've got around God, hanging around Him, it ain't hard for me to like Him. It ain't hard for me to think well of Him and say something nice about Him. I don't need entertained to do it. Amen. I don't need to watch somebody else worship to get me turned on.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
And see, this is why. Disciples don't have this problem. Disciples don't have this thing. So we need to get ourselves really trained in these areas to think right. We're going to go into an area of teaching concerning the Word. It's one of the things that Jesus said in John 14. I'm going to read because we're going to about Jesus made this statement about the believer doing his works, and we're going to talk about those things because in John 14 and verse 12. I understand we're talking about John when you talk about John here in the 14th chapter. John the 14th, when you look at John 14th from the whole way to the end of the book, till Jesus was crucified, this is Jesus is talking to his disciples. That was the night he was betrayed. See, a big part of John is just that, the things he said to them before he's leaving. Well, he's going to die, he's going to be raised from the dead. So when you read those things, it's important. He's talking to people who he's going to be raised from the dead. Their lives are going to be changed. He's talking to them about the other side of this thing. When you read these things, that's what he's talking. He's talking to the ones who are going to be the believers on the other side of this. And in verse 12, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you." This word's here, "most assuredly." They used to say this, that it would be equivalent to saying, "I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." That's sort of an equivalent of that. "I'm sure you, I'm saying this." So this is Jesus saying this. This is Jesus. Jesus said, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." So Jesus said, "the works that I do." Well, as we're talking about, what were the works of Jesus? It's teaching and preaching. Now, number one, he had healing. There's other manifestations, but the disciples saw his works. But see, we need to understand this, teaching and preaching. See, most people get all over on the miracle side of things, and they get over there and that, and they don't realize the teaching and preaching. That's part of the works of Jesus. That's the works of Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that Jesus put gifts in the church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, and teacher? Ministry gifts to preach the word? Gee, I thought he'd just put somebody in there and all they do is gifts of healing and miracles. That's all they do. No, those can manifest through anybody. But you need to understand, it has to do with the word. And getting miracles is by preaching the word. Preaching the word. This is why with most people, let me just say this, and especially ministering healing to people. Especially with Christians, don't be so quick to pray for them, lay hands on them, pray for them. Be quick to sit down and go over with them in the Word. And if they're not interested in sitting down and going over the Word and listening to the Word, they have a problem. The Christian and the sinner are sick for two different reasons. You need to get that. I've talked about it before, but you need to get it. See, the sinners are under the curse of the law. They're under the curse. The saint isn't. So there's a reason why Christians get sick. There's a reason. Lots of times, just downright unbelief is what it is, because they haven't been taught the word, so they don't know. So something belongs to them, but they don't know. You can get into sin. You can get out where you don't walk in love with people or something, or you're not doing it, and cause you a problem. The church at Corinth, he told them, because they didn't judge themselves, they were being judged. He said, "Many are weak, sick, and die prematurely." He's talking to Christians. Why? They wouldn't judge themselves. Sometimes you got to judge yourself. You ever have to do that?
Yes.
I may have done it more than you have.
Amen.
Do you know that one of the things I found was something you can't get a hold of or something like that working in those areas? The first thing I do is check, where have I missed it? I don't go through all this thing of people, well, we're just trying to believe God. And you know, you can go over and get into scriptures more and more, but I'm going to tell you what, always go over and judge yourself. Look, if I have something I need to correct, because you can't get enough scriptures to override what you need to judge yourself on. There's not enough scriptures to do that. You know, it's just like when I had my blood clot in my lung. Now, the hospital, I told Wanda, I said, you know, because I knew for a while I'd had this thing and I had it under control and it got out of control. But one of the things, see, I wanted to find out was this. I got in the hospital. I said, Wanda, you know, I said, man, I got this doctor and them were in a room and nurses. And I said, I want them to go, man. I said, I need to hear from God. And what I wanted to hear was, and I asked the Lord, did I miss it somewhere that this happened? See, you can live in this world and stuff will try to come on you. But let me tell you this. The devil can't bring stuff anytime, any place, anywhere on you whenever he wants to. You need to understand that. If he could, he'd kill us all.
Amen.
He can't do that. And I want to know, did I miss it anywhere? That's what I wanted to find out. Lord, did I miss it? Because number one, it isn't just enough to get healed. I want to stay healed.
Amen.
See, I'll tell you this. How many people, they get healed for a little while and it's back? This is good preaching. I'm just telling you that we're finding out about yourself. And I said to Wanda, man, I just need to hear from. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to talk to Him about this. And I asked Him. I just was blunt with it. I just said, Lord, have I missed it somewhere? And He responded right back to me and said, don't be concerned about it. Everything's all right. And I'll tell you, just like that, I started healing. But see, is number one, that was because of me. Once I knew there was nothing standing between me and Him. People never try to find out. You need to learn to do that. Instead of just jump over, I'm going to believe something. And stop and say, hold it. Is there anything here that we need to get clear? Why? Because I want this thing taken care of. Amen. I don't want to be messing around with this. I don't know about you. I don't like sick.
Amen. Amen.
I don't like it. Why? Because it's from under the curse. It belongs to the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
And it ain't no fun. I don't know. I'll tell you what. When I had that blood clot in my lung, you talk about pain. I'm going to tell you what. It's pain, isn't it? It's pain. The only way you can stop it is quit breathing. But I guess it's the only way to get it to stop. It's the only way you can do it. And I want to tell you what. You can't hold your breath long enough. Oh, man. I mean, it's pain. And when I was a sinner, I had pain with that. One time I had a viral infection that got into my spinal cord and caused it to swell up. And I'll tell you what, my whole body was pain. I mean, it just was pain to have touched to anything or anything like that. I mean, just, I'll tell you, I was a sinner. But I'll tell you what, I wanted to die. I just want to die, you know, because it's just the pain. It was awful. And I don't like pain. I don't like sickness. I never have. And so don't coddle it. People coddle sickness and disease. We hurt a lot of people because this is how they get attention through their problems. People are trained that way. We train people in that manner. And I'm not knocking about it. We want to have sympathy on the people and we want people to get well. But we can go too far with people. There's people who will always try to get, that's how they learn to get their attention. They're sick. I'll never forget, Wanda and I were working at a children's crusade with the worship center down in Leola. They had lots of kids here. So Wanda and I had a group of kids that we had under us and that stuff that we monitored and watched after because they have so many kids and you have to have these kids monitored. I'll never forget, we had a little girl in our group. And the guy who's preaching up front, he's teaching his kids. First he taught them about salvation, then he taught them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Got a bunch of kids filled with the Holy Ghost, got them saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, we're talking probably about 500 kids there. And he got a ton of them. And then he got over talking about healing. And he said, you know, we don't like to be sick and that kind of stuff. And this little girl there said to me, I like to be sick. I said, you like to be sick? She said, yeah, if I get sick, my parents buy me gifts. They do all kinds of stuff if I'm sick. Do you know how we do that with adults? And you need to understand this. We train people. We don't realize it. And there's people out here, you know, in life Maybe they don't get attention from other people, but they want attention. And they learn what society does to get attention. They learn that. That's why you gotta pay attention. You gotta be spiritual instead of letting your flesh or your people cause how to help that person. Because what happens is after a while, they end up with a spirit. Because they keep yielding over to that area. And after a while, a spirit gets a hold of them. And they really get bound in that area. And after a while, they're really having problems. They're really having problems. You don't want to do that. You know? You don't want to get over that thing. Is, you know, people with attention. I've had to deal with people with that. Over the years, when I was in teaching Bible school, we had to deal with a young woman getting over in that area. Things are drawing attention to yourself. You know, you don't want to do that. They want to be seen. Things in their life ain't right and stuff, and they trying to find self-worth and that stuff through things and whatever gets attention. And make sure you don't do that with yourself, you know. You're drawing attention to yourself, you know. I draw attention to me sometimes that people want to throw rocks. That's okay. So they don't throw them at you. You're all right. So we find out the ones that Jesus told us who qualifies in this thing of doing His works, and it's to the ones who believe. So that's the qualifications. And so, number one, think about yourself. If Jesus said this, the works that I do, He said, you will do also. He didn't say any kind of special thing. He said, you will do. See, you don't ever have to try to make things of the Spirit work. Jesus said they will. Just think what He said there. These signs, He said, the works that I do, He said, you will do all, they will do also. That's what they will do. See, what do you say about yourself and signs and this? Well, I don't have them like so-and-so. This doesn't... Oh, they won't work for you. We don't realize we're in the unbelief that comes. No, He said they will. These signs will follow those who believe. It didn't say certain ones who believe.
Amen.
They will.
Yeah.
You see, when I came in the kingdom, I was glad because I didn't listen to hardly anybody else other teaching. I listened to Kenneth Hagin. I listened to his teaching all the time. And I just thought God was just going to use it. I just thought God's going to use it. If He's going to do something through somebody, He'd do it through me. See, I became that naive. And He did. He would manifest and do all kind of stuff. But I hadn't listened to all this other stuff and hadn't been around people. And you just hear what the Word says, and that's all I ever heard Him do was talk what the Word says. This is what the Word says. So these signs and stuff, well, they follow the Word. Well, why? The believer preaches the Word. They just follow. These signs, what do they do? The things that I do, they will do also. He said even greater works. Now, we want to do something with this because people get strange ideas about this. He said, concerning the works, is the works that are follow. He said that, the works, will this person do? He says the works Jesus did, and He said greater. So in other words, we look at the works that Jesus did. Number one, generally you want to find from a scriptural standpoint, sometimes you find things that are out there, but generally you're going to find this with Jesus' ministry. When people are doing in manifestation of the Spirit are generally the things that Jesus did in His ministry. That's what you're going to do. You know, number one, we see in Jesus' ministry, was it number one raising the dead? You're going to see healing is going to be the greatest manifestation of things of the Spirit through preaching the Word and stuff. People get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And out of those kind of things, healing will be a predominant thing. And it was in His ministry. So we should expect that would be a predominant healing would. If you follow after any of the evangelists, I mean a real evangelist that is spirit-filled, his meaning healing. There's the manifestation. Why? That's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find this. It's number one, the devil's in the earth. America's full of sickness and disease. God's probably not going to be running around raising dead all the time. He'd like to save them from dying.
Yeah.
So, what's going to be the major thing? It's good if you can get them healed so you don't have to raise them. Yourself. But see, healing, there's one thing, is I always looked at the fact, well, Jesus, what was his ministry? What was predominant of what he did? Well, I always, from the beginning, you know, when the Lord told me this, when I first got over, I mean, young Christian, I wasn't even born again a year, and just looking at thing at Jesus' ministry, and the Lord spoke to me and said to me, he said, other than when my people get born again, he said, the main thing I want them to be do is I want my people well. He said, when my people are sick, he said, they don't have the finances to do what I want, because it, hey, you got to admit, America spends trillions of dollars a year trying to stay well, and ain't doing a good job at it at all. And we're trying to do this thing. And on top of that, he said this. He said, they're sick. They can't go when I want them to go or do what I want them to do. Sickness and disease holds man in bondage terribly. We don't treat it in America, the American church, as sickness as a bondage. It's poor old you. You got a problem. Instead of stopping and saying, hey, the devil's trying to kill me. Good Lord, I need to do something about this. No, feel sorry for me. Send me a card, do this, do that, and send me some flowers. And people do not hate sickness and disease because we reward it. Okay. We spend fortunes, and yet God has provided in His Word. And we're spending fortunes. And see, when I found this out, to me, I don't know about you, I thought this was the most wonderful thing when I found these things out. I just thought this is the most wonderful stuff. But I found out, it ain't wonderful for a lot of people in the church. You don't think it's wonderful to hear. Because we have a system that runs, and that system is predominant in our thinking. And it's the only way you can break it is through the Word. That's the only way you can do it. And there's no other way. You can't break it by seeing more healing. That doesn't break it. You've got to change people's mindsets, the way they think. That's like we do it. We're always trying to help people that are poor. If you can't change your mindset, you can't make them rich. They'll stay poor. Mm-hmm. They'll keep doing things that make them poor. Mm-hmm. You know, most people that are poor isn't because they went through a financial tragedy. It's because they live a life that makes them poor. Amen. Giving them food and giving them money doesn't change their lifestyle at all. Mm-hmm. They will spend that money on the things. It's like me, you gave me money, I'm buying booze, get some drugs, don't tell you. The whole idea, we're helping them. Boy, we're helping them. Yeah, we're helping them on their, if they don't change the way they think. And see, this is where preaching and teaching. People say, I need help. I do this all the time. People call and say, I need help. I say, I'll see you at church. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you some help, because I just tell them, if we can't change the way you think, you'll just stay in this situation you're in, and you'll keep asking. If we give you money now, you're going to ask for more. You're going to just keep asking for more. It ain't going to change. I found this out. We've had people over the years in our church, people in our years, and you know what? You go and help them. As soon as you quit helping them, they leave. Because they'll find another church, gives them what they want. But the person never changes. Mm-hmm. They don't want to change.
Amen. Preach.
Now, people don't like this kind of stuff said. But I'm going to tell you what, it needs to, if I did not get my mind renewed, mm-hmm. I would have never changed. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
It's because I got my mind renewed. I'd still be under the barrel. I don't care if I was saved, I'd still be under the barrel. That would be it. It's getting my mind renewed. And we need to know that with people. If they don't change how they think.
Amen.
They don't think to change the way they think about things. It causes them their problems.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's we got to get this thing down here. Boy, the renewing of the mind is the most powerful thing that you can have. If a Christian does not get his mind renewed, that will never live any victory in Christian life. It won't
Amen.
Happen.
Amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
It is through that.
Yes.
Change in the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes to. Now, the works of Jesus, it said greater works. We need to understand this about Jesus' ministry. One thing Jesus never did in his ministry when he was here on the earth, he never got anybody saved. Salvation didn't exist like we did. Mm-hmm. There's one thing, you know what, we do one, the greater work is we get people born again. Jesus never had the miracle. I want you to understand this about yourself. If you don't understand the greatness of your new birth, You're always going to be weak in faith in a lot of areas.
Amen.
Greatest miracle that ever happened to me was a new birth.
Yep.
It is phenomenal. I don't know what happened to my dead spirit, where it went, what happened to it. I don't know.
Don't care.
Yeah, and I ain't looking for it. But the whole thing, this is, you know what? But it's phenomenal. Can you imagine becoming a new creation? See, if you really thought about it, if the word was really preached, and people would say, this isn't getting your sins forgiven. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my sins forgiven that way, like many people, God said,
right.
I'm forgiving you. No, God shot and killed the dude and made me a new one.
Amen. Amen.
That's how he got it done. He didn't say, Ed, I'm going to forgive you. No, Ed, you're so darn ugly, we've got to kill you. This is the only way we can fix you, you idiot. We got to kill you and give you a new spirit. This is the only way it's going to work. Hallelujah. Everybody come on. I got my sins forgiven. You know, I don't remember when that happened. All I knew is I became somebody different than when I got born. That's like, my God, a new creation. Even that in itself started to change the way I thought. To me, it was most of the phenomenal things. Like, you know, I almost had to pinch myself at times. Like, wow, what happened to me? Why? I was a different person. See, I didn't recognize the person I was. I never was like that. See, if you got saved and you're still that same idiot back yonder there, I doubt if you got what I got. No? I had the desire to do what's right, and I never had that before. I didn't even have the want to. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We teach and preach the word. We're going to do that with Jesus. There's one thing is Jesus. We found his healing of sickness and things. That's going to be predominant in the church. People being raised from the dead. You see those things. There's one thing as I've watched over the years, you find with ministries. There's major things that happen in ministries of miracle stuff and things that takes place. Those are the things that God does. Now God deals with some people, gives them special anointings concerning healing. But we need to understand this. The gift of healing and a person, a minister, having a special healing anointing does not mean a person does not have to have faith. They have to have faith, or that healing anointing that's given to them won't work. That healing anointing will respond. Many times people can go to meetings and they will get healed at that meeting and end up sick a short time later. See, there's a need of faith to maintain it. Because the devil will come, right? The devil, he finds a place clean and garnished, he comes back. This is why you want to develop in faith. This is why we need to do that. This is where, is we need to have it in the local church needs to be teaching on these things.
Amen.
Because you can't go to those meetings and they have, now a lot of times they'll have like morning sessions, but you'll find this, majority of the people don't ever go to the morning sessions. They don't go to the sessions, they won't go to them. And so, you know, I worked with Kenneth Hagin Ministry. Kenneth Hagin always did this in the camp meetings every time. Every year was identically the same. He would come out the first night, and he'd come out, and he'd say, now look, you know, we're going to be ministering the healing during these, the camp meeting and stuff. But he said, he would always go over, my last year at Rhema, I worked in the handicapped section of camp meeting. Wanda and I were down there doing that. And he goes specifically to them, make sure that you get to the morning sessions where they're teaching on faith. That's what every morning they would have sessions on faith. And I want you to get this. 99% of the people who got healed in that section attended the morning sessions, and the ones who didn't get healed. Why? They got faith. They got faith. And I mean miraculous. And they tell people do it. But some people say, well, it's hard. Isn't it hard being sick? Mm-hmm. I will guarantee you, every one of those people, if their doctor said they had to be there in the morning to a visit, they'd be there.
That's
my word. They'd stop the world to make sure they got to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't care what. See, I don't ever hear that stuff. Most people do not believe that if they go to church and anybody lays a hand on them, they're going to get anything. They won't do that till after they've seen the doctor a number of times, and then they might come and ask for a prayer. So I make people nervous, I tell you. People don't. See, we need to understand, what do we really believe? Do we believe there's an anointing there? If we got together with the believers, I'd get healed.
Amen.
See, I notice that people don't really notice it. Do you notice when we minister somebody healing you, how many times, if I do that, I'll call everybody up? Is number one, you know, number one, we need to understand this. We can lay hands on people a whole lot, but I'll have everybody come up. Why? Corporate anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody ever noticed, how many times people get well with our corporate anointing?
Amen.
But how many people, they'd like to have personal something or other. I'm going to tell you what, the anointing is in the body.
Amen.
See, people aren't observers. I am. I've learned these things over years, watching how it works. See, I'm interested in results, not your religious thinking. How you think it works. See, and the body gets together. There's power.
Amen.
There's power there. If people believe that, you might ask for that. Ask and you shall receive. What'd you ask for? Well, not so much. I just want one person lay hands on me. I found out. You get the body to do it. Ask people. Come up around. Come on, lay hands on the person. Come up, pray for the person. Corporate anointing. We're too visualized to certain individuals and certain things, and we do that. People today, you know, they follow their ministers and they follow their stuff and they follow Jesus, you know. But there's the body. The body's built together into a temple. I realize individually I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost, but there's a temple that is greater, and it's the body built together.
Amen.
And there's a greater anointing.
Mm-hmm.
This is why don't forsake yourself, assemble together,
mm-hmm.
as most do. Most people don't think church is important. Most Christians don't think church is important. They even religiously think they just do it because we just go do this. And this is what people need to get in their minds.
Amen.
So if people don't come to church, you know, it's trying to get them to something and doing something, you're wasting pretty much your time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We don't like to think of that, but we've trained them to it because we trained them. If they don't, we'll chase after them. And we'll just go after them and, you know, we'll just keep trying to, well, I'm a praying for you. And I'll say, I'm a not praying for you. You know what to do. Get it doing it.
Amen.
I ain't had used that more praying.
Preach.
Once a person knows what to do, I found this out from the Lord, you know, asking because praying for people. And the Lord told me already, people says, you know, you're praying for, I said to the Lord, I said, send me, you ain't hooking. Do you know when you're praying and the Lord's hooking up with you? You better learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Lord, you ain't hooking up with me on this. And why? He said, they know what to do and they ain't doing it. They ain't good to pray for.
Amen.
See, sometimes people know. But see, we ain't satisfied that. See, I'm going to be bigger than God. I'm going to get what I want out of it. I'm going to push this myself. You know, I'm going to make this happen. And I just want to tell you, I got in big trouble with that, with God trying to push something down the road. God wasn't in, and I knew it. And I'm going to tell you what, you need to be careful because you'll open the door to the devil to things, pushing into spiritual things that God ain't in, and you'll end up with some demonic problems you ain't going to believe was going to happen. We're not ever trying to force God to do a thing. Prayer is not to move God. God's already said He'll move. Prayer is to change us. Fasting changes you. Fasting and prayers to change you and me. Last time I checked, God didn't need any change and He was doing just fine. Ed needed help. And I found out, you know, sometimes Ed needs to get in line with what God's doing, you know. Hallelujah. But praise God, we have the opportunity to get people born again. As number one, if we're going to tell people about the new birth, we ought to preach it as a absolutely supernatural thing that's going to happen.
Amen.
They're going to have a change. Like, I almost get tired of hearing people say, well, you get your sins forgiven. I almost get tired of hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to tell you, you're going to pass from death unto life.
Amen.
You're going to be a different person.
That's right.
When you get born again, that old scumbag that you have been is going to die. And you're going to be something better. If you still want to stay what you are, you stay what you are. There ain't no point. Because religion can't help you.
Amen.
But God's salvation is a supernatural thing that happens. Do you want that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want that? Do you want to be something other than you are? Do you want to follow this same life you're on? Well, go ahead. God has a different, and He'll change you.
Amen.
To live in that life. See, number one, you got to be changed to get into the Christian life.
Amen.
You don't get in it because you got your sins forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We're here because we was changed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
See, get that in you. See, I'm a changed. I'm not like, don't think of yourselves like everybody else. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what your past was. I'm changed.
Amen.
I'm not that person anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't matter what I was. It's what I is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Get that in yourself about who you are. See, I am a person of faith. I don't struggle to have faith. It is so natural for
Amen.
Me. I'm called a believer. Why would I have trouble believing?
Amen.
People say, I just have trouble believing. A believer that can't believe? What on earth is that? That's a stupid thing. I'm having a hard time believing. I'm a believer, but I have a hard time. You know, I'm a human. I'm having a hard time breathing. Well, you might get a casket. You may need it shortly. Just, my God. No, I'm a believer and I can believe.
Amen.
It is the most natural thing for me to trust God.
Praise God.
It would be abnormal that I wouldn't.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, change what you think. Don't listen. Well, this faith life is hard. No, this faith life, you know what? I'm just going to tell you. Faith life, they call it a fight, but it's a good fight. I always win.
Amen.
You know, I don't mind getting in fights.
Amen.
If I win, I don't want to give them a loser. I don't. That's an ugly fight. Isn't it? Isn't it an ugly fight? You're losing? This is a good fight because I win.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Isn't there any fights? But I can win them all. Jesus already licked the devil for me.
Amen.
He licked sickness and disease for me. It comes, it's licked.
Amen.
I'm not trying to lick it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Sin's defeated. It is not something we're trying to get over.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Don't preach me happy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just say thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the victory we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, if anything, I am just so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you gave us so many things that you taught in the short time you were here, Lord God, to put into us. Father, I am so thankful for the Word. Because without the Word, I wouldn't know you.
Amen.
I wouldn't know you at all. I would still be living my life of sin and going on, destined to hell. But Lord God, your great love, you came and gave your word and you delivered us. Hallelujah. I am so thankful. And you're the living word. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, how wonderful it is, the victory that you have won for us, that we're not trying to win. All we do is enforce the victory that's ours.
Amen.
We refuse to bow to the devil. We refuse to bow to his stuff and his ways and his sickness and his mental torment. We refuse to bow to it in the name of Jesus. We're free in Jesus' name. We're redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Our families are redeemed from the curse. All of our possessions, all that we have is redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. And I thank you. We're so darn blessed. Glory to God. There's nobody blessed like we are.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to say thank you. So Lord, we're not trying to ask you to do something good to us. You've already done great to us. Hallelujah. And I thank you. We're just going to walk in the light of faith. We're just going to believe we're blessed. We're going to believe we're saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what things look like. Hallelujah. The Word is true. And Lord God, it's working mightily in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah.